You're listening to the Unstoppable Business Podcast. I'm your host, Brian Lee. Megan, thank you for joining us on the podcast today.
Absolutely. Thank you so much for having me.
For sure. So I guess what you do is really, really interesting because it's super niche. When people ask you, what do? How do you answer that exactly?
I usually tell them I'm an artist. So it kind of depends on the question. I'm a calligrapher, hand letter, but artist usually sums it up.
Okay, I see. So in this journey of becoming an artist, like when did it all begin for you?
I've been lettering as far back as I can possibly remember. I've always loved doodling and drawing, like even all the way back in middle school. You know how like you're passing notes in class and the teacher threatens, like, if I catch that, I'm going to open it up.
Like,
I would be so proud. I would be like, open it up, show it around. Like, I worked really hard. So we've been at this for a long time, but I've been in business for 6 years. So I graduated college and I worked in event planning for 7 years prior to that. And loved that career. I think a lot of people start a side business because they want to leave their job, but that was not the case for me. Like, I loved where I was at. I enjoyed what I was doing, but this was just a passion that I had on the side for several years, and then it just continued to grow to the point that I was able to leave my full-time job. So this is my whole career now, and I never looked back. I wouldn't change a thing.
Wow, that's amazing. And for those of us who don't know, what exactly is lettering?
So hand lettering is a fancier version of your regular handwriting. So when I go to make a grocery list, when I go to sign a check, write a thank you note, that handwriting is not that impressive. Like, nobody has to see it but me. Like, I'm aiming for function, not for fun. Like, I'm in a hurry. But hand lettering, you're slowing down, you're taking more time, you're adding more steps, more embellishments to your regular handwriting in order so that it can really bring it to another level. I tell my students it brings it from drab to fab. And it empowers you and makes you feel confident enough and excited enough to share your handwriting with other people, whether that's on a gift, whether that is on an envelope, a gift tag, something that you're writing, a favorite quote, an encouraging note. I think so many of us like are held back sometimes because we don't think it looks good enough, but I empower my students and teach people just how to make their regular, ordinary handwriting better by turning it into hand lettering.
Wow, that's awesome. Megan, so the event planning, right? When you were in event planning, you said you loved that job. And somehow it grew into your own business that you operated for 6 years, right? How did that transition happen?
Yeah, I loved events. I loved being around people. I loved coming up with ideas. I loved feeling creative and being able to execute those things. But I just missed being creative, like, with my hands. Like, being, you know, an artist at heart, I wasn't ever getting to draw anything, to doodle anything. All my whole entire job was on a computer, planning, on a phone, talking to people. I just missed that like paper and pen touch that I just didn't get anymore. And so I found myself trying to find ways that I could incorporate my lettering and my creativity into these events that were already happening. I was working at two different colleges and universities planning both student events and alumni events. And so there was a lot of opportunity for me to make place cards, for me to make welcome signage, just little things like that, that I was kind of getting a taste of, you know, what it would be like to do that. And I started my business on the side while I was working in event planning and opened my first Etsy shop back in 2013 and started selling stationery and personalized custom quotes and things like that for people that I would just use my writing to create for them. And that just continued to grow and to evolve over time. And I did it on the side for about 2 years. So I'd work all day in events and then come home and package and ship orders and write these items for people. And then wake up in the morning and go to the post office before I would go into work. And so event planners work really long hours and they work a lot of weekends. And so even though I loved and enjoyed what I was doing, it wasn't really conducive to growing a business. And I knew that my ultimate goal, you know, after being in it for a couple of years, was really going to be my own business. And so it was a hard decision to make that shift and make that transition because I did enjoy my job and I loved my coworkers, and on paper, it made more sense than it did in my heart. It was like hard to kind of take that
Wow.
leap and go, but I'm so glad I did, and I just have had so many opportunities and doors open for me now that I have been full time for so long. Like, I have a book coming out August 5th. It's going to be nationally published, a hand lettering book, and I never would have been able to have that kind of opportunity if I was still working in like from like 9 to midnight every night. So
Right.
it's nice to be able to have more time.
I see. So, event planning, you really love that job, huh? But
I did,
somehow,
yeah.
but somehow you said you wanted to do something more. You wanted to do something with your hands, right? Was this something that you always had? Like you said, when you were super young, teachers used to take your notes and show it to the class. So, like, was this something that you always had?
I think so. I think I had that creativity like within me, but I think hand lettering and calligraphy was something that I learned and that I improved upon as time went on. I started with calligraphy, and that's like the pointed metal tip that you dip into a jar of ink, like John Hancock style, like as old school as you can get. Like, I started with that and just really started to create my own style and make it unique to me instead of just trying to copy and mimic all the ones that I saw online or all the people that I knew that did that before me. I started to really write in my own unique style and make it my personality on the paper instead of me trying to be someone else and me trying to be super formal or super fancy or super elegant. Nobody's ever called me elegant a day in my life. Like, that is not who I am. I'm just like a lot more down to earth and a lot more casual than that. And so it was fun and encouraging to other people to when I started teaching classes to tell them that, like, hey, you don't have to write just like me. You don't have to write just like this style that's in this textbook. You can make it your own. And the techniques don't change. Like, the way you hold the pen, the way you sit, the way you go back and add to the letter, like, that's all the same, but the style in which you want to create and make it your own, like that can be endless. Like, the possibilities are endless. And so very early on into my business, somebody approached me and said, would you ever like to teach a class? And I go back thinking, like, all through my event experience, I love being on a microphone. I love being in front of people. I love welcoming crowds. And it was a no-brainer for me. I was like, yeah, oh my gosh, that sounds like so much fun. And I go home and I'm like, how do you teach this? Like, how in the world do you do like what you just said that you will do? And so I really just kind of built the airplane as I was flying it and figured that out on the go. And now I still teach in-person classes. Like, every single week I've taught almost 8,000 people in person over the
Wow.
last 6 years, not hand lettering. But then I was able to launch an online class. Like, I really saw the demand for it. I saw people who were not local to me hoping and wishing and even like traveling in and getting hotel rooms to attend my classes. And I was like, I have to figure out how to be able to grow this. And the online portion, just started a little like right at a year ago, and it's been amazing. It's been so awesome, and I'm just so grateful for that capability to be able to reach like more far and wider than I ever have before.
Wow, that's amazing. So during this whole thing, was there ever a point where you were, when you were teaching this stuff, was there ever a point where you were not confident about it? Or were you like, okay, I know exactly what to teach, like, I know exactly what to give to these students?
Oh my gosh, there were so many times that I was not confident. I mean, even still to this day, like, for doing it for 6 years, every once in a while you'll have a student, these are still in-person events, and you'll have a student who either like just doesn't quite get it or like almost like heckles you and like says something back, and
Really?
you just kind of have to keep your composure and just keep the smile on your face and keep your energy up and own it. But what's amazing with teaching, and if any of your listeners are doing online courses, in-person events, you learn so much from your students, like just the questions that they ask, like the trouble spots that they run into, like how you can almost like answer their question before they even have it, the more you teach and the better you go on. And like, doing in person has made it so much easier for me to transition online because I know what jokes are funny. I know what transitions make sense. I know when they have like kind of scrunched their face and look confused when I said something. So I know not to say that again. And so it's a well-oiled machine, and it's just been really nice to have that in-person experience because as much as online and digital is amazing, I don't think my online class would be as good if I had not taught it in person before.
I see. Okay. So, when did that transition happen exactly? So, you were doing the workshops for a long time. You taught about 8,000 students, you said.
Yes.
And then, when did it shift over to the online courses?
So we're still doing both. I still teach students. I still teach workshops every single week, and
Right.
have for 6 years. And the online class is about a year old. So I launched that in August of last year, 2018. And then with just one class, with like my class that I had been teaching with the lowercase alphabet. And then this coming August, so just in a couple weeks, we're going to launch the capital letter version of that class. And that was new for me. That's something I haven't really taught in person. And so I just see the difference in how much easier it was to record the one I knew so well
Right.
versus this new version in this new class. But it was something that was requested that people were excited about and asking for. So I'm very hopeful and looking forward to being able to give that to them in just a few weeks.
Wow. All right. So when you launched this online course, was it successful from the outset?
It definitely was. I had a goal on launch day, and we surpassed that goal by about $5,000. And so I was thrilled with
Wow.
that response. I didn't really know how it would go just because I hadn't done online before, but I did a good job like ahead of it, promoting it, saying, when it was going to launch, like a countdown, like those kinds of things that you see online. But I'll be 100% honest, I saw a hit in my in-person classes the following month. I had the highest month of sales, in August in my business that year, that month when it launched. And then September was my lowest month of the whole entire year.
Wow.
And I think it was because I'm so used to having people come in person, and the online alternative, like some of those people that might have bought tickets in September actually bought them online, and they're just kind of taking it home in the comfort of their house. And that was hard. That was really discouraging for me, and that was really frightening for me because so much of my business is built in person. And I kind of had to just like take a step back, like recollect myself and work a little bit harder to promote the in-person events. And I've seen them go back up. Like, that was like a quick valley that we were in for a minute, and we prevailed and been able to have really successful both online and in person. But it just kind of helps me remember that if you're going to really hype the online event, that the in-person event might take a little bit of a hit.
Are you an expert or course creator trying to monetize your online course? Well, use our one-page template to get more paying students to your online course without marketing overwhelm or sleazy sales tactics. You can download this for free at unstoppablebusiness.com. Now, back to the show.
Okay. But this was something that your students in your workshops actually requested, right? That you do an online course?
It was more students who don't live locally. So, with me teaching in person, I'm able to travel to all these local cities within a few hours, even within a quick plane flight of my house, and give them that in-person experience to be able to hug their neck after, to write their names for them. It's a very like Instagrammable, like fun night out experience.
Right.
And the people who did not live close were the ones that were asking and begging for the online class. And they were saying, I'm in Texas, I'm in California, like you never come out here. We would love for you to come to Florida. And as much as I'm a yes person and I would love to come, like I can't spread myself that thin. And they were the ones asking for the online class. And so not only did they take advantage of it and they showed up great and they enjoyed it and loved it, but some local people took it as well. My classes at that time were selling out very quickly. They were hard to get a ticket to. And so people were like, oh, well, I can't get into the online class. I mean, I can't get into the in-person. I'll just take it online. And so I definitely saw a hit initially, but it's totally worked itself out by now.
I see. Megan, what would you say is like the most satisfying part of your job?
I love watching students come into the class, whether it's online or in person, and just kind of feeling frazzled, like feeling stressed and tired. They're busy, they got a lot of things going on, and then they're going and carving out 90 minutes of something that's just for them, that's just fun, like that's just creative. that they're not shopping for perfection. They're just kind of letting their hair down. They're feeling creative again. And just the lightness that you can see, like, in their eyes and on their faces when they leave is what I keep coming back for. Because I feel like I'm just able to pour into them and encourage them and lift them up. And, like, even if they care nothing about lettering, and even if they didn't grasp the lettering portion, and it's very rare that that happens, but they still leave feeling happier about life. And wow. I think that that's my whole mission, and that's why I'm here. That's why I'm a teacher. That's why I put myself out there on the internet and in all these capacities, because I feel like I'm called to be able to encourage and lift up other people and to bring them light and to bring them joy. And I think the lettering piece, like, is just a vehicle for those skills to be able to get out there. And I encourage your listeners, like, if you're teaching art, if you're teaching business, if you're teaching anything, look for that opportunity, like, when you have a captive audience, to pour into them even more. Like, it doesn't have to be so cut and dry, like, professional, like, straightforward right. material. You have a chance to, if that's the only time they ever get to meet you, you have a chance to pour into them and just to give them even more than what they ever thought they were going to get. And so that's my favorite part.
Wow, that's awesome. So Megan, I know you have the book coming out. What project are you working on right now that's most important to you?
So the book comes out August 5th, and it's called Happy Hand Lettering. And so we're releasing a capital letter online class in conjunction with the book release. And so that's actually what I'm finishing up right now. I had a videographer come and film that class. And so I'm going through adding elements, making edits, you know, just transition, and then getting all that online on the back end, which I'm a solopreneur. I don't have a team. I'm a mom who works from home above my garage full time.
Wow.
And so yeah. Sometimes these little tasks of getting it set up on ClickFunnels or getting it set up in whatever your platform is, like, sometimes those things are just so painstakingly, like, crazy.
Right.
And so that's kind of where we're at right now. Just in the last couple weeks, I'm about to leave on a book tour, but I want that online class to be able to be ready, because I'm not here. So I'm not going to be home to ship orders. I'm not going to be home to pack up anything. And it's so nice to know I have that passive income of the online class that can carry me while I'm on the road. And so that's where I'm going to be driving all the traffic to, that's not coming out and seeing me in person. It's like, hey, like, sorry, we can't come to your city. We're going to 12 cities on the road. But if you're not one of those 12, like, please join us in our online class. And so I will not only have the lowercase that's been around for a year, but I'm releasing the uppercase. And we're also going to offer a bundle that has both of those classes, plus the book, plus another online content, like free video. And so that is, I'm like knee deep in the weeds on all the the back end of getting all that stuff up right now, but I'm excited. I'm really, really passionate about being able to offer that and getting that out into the world.
Wow, that's awesome. I mean, knowing what you know now, is there something that you wish could have been different about your journey?
I don't think so. I think that it all happened the way it happened, like, to teach me a lesson. And I don't feel like there was a time and a season in my business when actually when I was pregnant with my son and right after I had him, that I felt really frustrated that I was behind. Mm-hmm. And I felt like I was going to come back. I had taken maternity leave. That was my first break ever. I mean, I was working, like, even, like, through our honeymoon, I was, like, checking my email and things like that. Like, when we got married, which is crazy. Don't do that. But I felt like I was going to come back and be irrelevant, and that, like, all my followers would have, like, moved on. And because I wasn't there for 3 months, that they were going to have forgotten about me. And I had so much fear and so much worry tied up in that. And I came back and I was busier than ever. And I came back with a renewed sense of purpose and with actually less time, but being able to be more focused when I was here. And it just gave me, like, such an appreciation for the followers and the fans and the customers who've grown up with me and who have, like, gone through all these seasons and who just are so supportive and so encouraging. And I had a lot of fear, but it was unfounded. Like, there was nothing to be afraid of. I think wherever you are in your business, you're right on time. Like, you're exactly where you're supposed to be. You're learning something, you're growing, you're moving forward, and you'll get there. And it doesn't happen overnight. Like, a lot of good stuff is happening to me right now. I feel like I'm on a mountaintop, like, in the season of my business, but there were a lot of valleys to be able to get there. And it didn't happen overnight. I've been working at this for 6 years, and I've been showing up every single day, like on Instagram, on social, like on email, like in my business when it felt like you were talking to nobody. And I will never tell you that I feel like I've made it, because I think we always want more. And I think whatever you get, you're like, okay, like you just get excited about the next thing. And I'm just trying to try really hard to sit still for a minute and focus and enjoy and soak in the success and soak in the season, because it's something that I hoped and prayed for such a long time, and it's happening. And I've got to be careful to realize that it's happening and not just to be planning and preparing for the next thing.
I see. Wow. That's incredible, Megan. Thank you for sharing that. So, Megan, what do you think is the vision? Like, how do you see yourself in 5 to 10 years from now?
So it's a funny question for me, because if you had asked me 5 years ago, like, where do you see yourself in 5 years? I never would have told you I would be a mom. I would never have told you I would have a book deal. Like, I could never have imagined. I never would have dreamed that big, like that I could be where I am now. And so I hold it loosely. Like, I hold my hopes and dreams very loosely. In 10 years, I'll be 43, which is crazy to think about. I picture one goal and big hope for me is that I would love to be able to use my business revenue to purchase a beach property for my family, whether that's just a condo, like a one bedroom place that we get to come to. But I want to use it for us and to get away for me and my husband and my son, but also to be able to bless other people with that, friends that might be going through a hard season or family that need to get away, and just to leave that like open. And that's just a huge goal for me personally. But business-wise, I would love to write more books. I have an idea for a children's book that I'm in the process of pitching right now. I have another idea for a book that I would love to write in the future. I love doing in-person events. I think over time I will scale back. And instead of doing so many every single week that are smaller, I would like to do fewer that are larger. So speaking to bigger crowds, maybe at women's conferences, at big events, at business opportunities, just to be able to reach people on a larger scale. And I love the online teaching component that I've been able to bring on. I would really like to see, right now, like, my niche is totally lettering. Like, it's just definitely lettering focused, but I have a lot of business knowledge too. And coming up on like being an author, like being able to market things and produce products that are unique to you. And then having a brand that is just so aligned with exactly who you are. Like, I want people to meet me in person and be like, yeah, that's exactly who I thought, like, from what you put online. And I think that I know how to do that well, and that's something that I could offer and teach to people in the future. So I don't ever want to stray from lettering. Like, that's my favorite thing. Like, that's my bread and butter. But I think that I could do a lot more than that, and I feel like I'm called to do more. So I look forward to see, I think, same husband, same child, same happiness, but I would really like to see where this takes me.
Wow, it's very exciting to hear. Megan, is there anything else that you want to say to our audience out there listening?
I just encourage people that, like, when you mess up, like, because you will, like, you're so totally going to mess up. Like, I letter for a living every day, and I spell something wrong, like, literally every day. So I've never gone through a day with, like, perfect writing or perfect fonts or anything. And very early on in my business, I started throwing those scrap pieces of paper into my office shredder. So it, like, sits next to my desk, and I just run it through the shredder, and out comes, like, the most beautiful confetti that you've ever seen. And it's, like, colorful, and, like, the texture is so fun. And so I throw that confetti into my orders whenever someone places an order. And that is just my calligraphy trash that is living a happier life. I believe that confetti is this trash that shows a happier life. And I think in our life, like, we're going to mess up. Like, we are going to make mistakes. We are going to lose money sometimes. We're going to make the wrong decision sometimes. Like, we might get into the wrong relationship sometimes. And I just encourage all of us that we don't have to be defined by our mistakes, that we don't have to be defined by the hard things or the hard parts of our story, whether that's our life or our business, that we have the opportunity at every single turn that we can turn our mistakes into confetti, that, like, you can turn your mess into something good, and you can turn it around. And I think sometimes the hardest things you go through, that's when you're able to turn around and help somebody else that's still struggling, or help someone else that's just starting. Like, you only have to be a couple steps ahead to be able to turn around and help somebody else. And so just be encouraged in that like, hard things are going to happen, like, mistakes are going to be made, but just look for the good and try your best to turn those into confetti.